I was thinking about that song written by Fanny Crosby, that line when she said, "I'll see him face to face." Boy, that was quite a statement. Let's take our Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 6. The Lord had revealed to Noah that the end of all flesh was come before him. The earth was filled with violence through the rebellion and the corruption of men, and the Lord was going to destroy all men with the earth. But Noah, who had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, was told by the Lord, and this is where we were last week, verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." Now, gopher wood is not truly defined. You look up the definition of gopher wood, and there's not one. Many speculate that it was cypress, but we don't really know. But one thing that I did find is that the word is said to be from an unused root meaning. I'm just quoting what it says. An unused root meaning of to house in. That's what it means, to house in. So the scripture says that the Lord instructed Noah to make an ark of this gopher wood. And it says, "Rooms shalt thou make in the ark." It was to have, and here again, I'm just defining as I go through here, nests, chambers, or dwellings for the occupants. The Lord, obviously, is a God of order, and Almighty God was going to have a place for every occupant that was going to be in that ark. Almighty God knew exactly what was going to be in that ark. And likewise, the scripture says, Ephesians chapter 2, speaking of God's people, concerning all that shall be found regenerated in the earth, but in heaven. "Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." So every creature, not only Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, but every creature was going to have a place prepared by God through the means of Noah to be in that ark. It was not going to be a haphazard, you know, well, y'all just kind of go in and try to find a place. There was a place prepared. The scripture says also that the ark was to be pitched within and without. Now, the word pitch, and it you can imagine, it was a kind of a sticky substance. But the word pitch actually means to cover, to cancel, to appease, make atonement, disannul, cleanse, forgive, be merciful, pacify, pardon, purge away, or reconcile. Well, I'll tell you what, pitch on the outside and the inside of that ark absolutely set forth, and our minds cannot help but go to the glorious mercy seat that covered. It was a covering over that ark. It was to be completely covered outside and pitched on the inside. It's a picture. It's a covering. It's an atonement. When you hear me say the word atonement, I always do this because it's a, it in my mind, I see an umbrella. It's a covering. It's a covering from the rain. It's a covering. That's atonement. It's the blood. And that mercy seat that sat on top of the ark of the covenant in the tabernacle in the wilderness, that it had the cherubims and their wings came together and touched. And there it is. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you about the types, the cherubims and the four faces and all of them. Those cherubims, I'm convinced, were created beings. They were angels, angelic beings, but they were creatures that set forth and glorified the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the face of a man, a lion, an ox, an eagle. And so here are these two cherubims on that mercy seat. That was the mercy seat, the atonement, the covering of the ark. And that was the place where God would meet with his people. We meet with him in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the pitch, that was a picture of the covering that God's people enjoy and have of their protection, safety. It's the blood. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah was to pitch the ark on the outside, and that pitch set forth that glorious atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that shielded within, without all the people that were in the ark. That blood that satisfied the demand of Almighty God for justice because of the broken law. Noah, his family, his animals, they were in the ark. But that ark, built with gopher wood, but it was pitched. It was protected. But it was to be pitched also on the inside. That same atoning blood that kept Noah and the others safe within and without. That was the blood that secured that safety, that comfort of God's remnant as the waves of that flood rolled against the ark for 40 days and 40 nights, perfectly sealed within. The scripture says they'll never perish. We're sealed. One thought I was thinking concerning that pitch, and it was the blood on the outside, the blood on the inside, they were sealed. And I thought to myself, you know, when that storm, you know, we'll look at when the windows of heaven opened up and the water billowed out from the earth. It had never rained before. And that was the first rain they'd ever seen. It was a rain too. And I thought to myself, Noah couldn't see the pitch on the outside, but he could on the inside. And I thought to myself, just imagining with that pitch on the outside, that ark shook under the judgment of God, but he couldn't see the ark or the pitch on the outside, but he could on the inside. He could see that. And I just thought, as I imagined in my mind with that ark rolling and that storm outside, and he could hear it. I mean, he could hear it raining. Like yesterday would have been just a little Sunday afternoon shower compared to that. I mean, it was raining here. I don't know if it rained at your house, but buddy, it was storming here. And I thought to myself, that was nothing. For 40 days and 40 nights, it never stopped. And I can just, you know, here was Noah, and he's in that ark. And he hears it. He hears it, and he feels those waves. But he could see the pitch on the inside. And there was no water coming in. And he was safe, and he was secure. And while he looked by faith, he saw in that type the blessed sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, blood that was shed for all, just like Noah. And the only reason that Noah was in that ark was because of the grace of God. God put him there. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And all the rest of mankind, except for those eight souls that were there, how often do you think it ran through his mind? He'd been preaching 120 years 120 years. And there's eight souls, and it's just his family. His family. And he think, but for the grace of God, I'd be out there. Romans 3:23-25 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth, that is foreordained, to be a propitiation, that is the cleansing cover of reconciliation, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits. The height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, third stories shalt thou make it. Now, just reading the instructions that the Lord had given Noah concerning the construction of the ark makes us realize that the daunting undertaking that this would be. I can't even imagine the job of building an ark 450 feet long, just 45 feet tall and 75, whatever 75 is times 1.5. That's how many cubits. It slips my mind right now. But it's huge. It's a huge box. It's a big box. And I'm sure that the ridicule of Noah, it's on dry land. It had never rained. And Noah is telling them God's going to send a flood of water. It's going to flood. And I read the scripture. This is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of it, the window of this, it'll be this big, this big. And as I read, and I'm not saying this without looking and asking and seeking the Lord concerning what I'm about to tell you. Just a note of observation concerning the construction of the ark. There is no mention that I could find of Noah ever having any help building the ark. Now, I'll just confess, I always assumed that there was always, that there was, his family or somebody was out there helping, but I don't mean to imply that there wasn't any help, but what I do mean to imply is that the scripture doesn't bear it out that there was any help. And so with the scriptures being silent concerning that point, every time you read it, it's always the Lord told Noah, you build it. And someone says, well, that just means that he was to oversee it, or it means that he was the one responsible. I understand all that. I get it. But my point is this, it's never recorded. It's never said that anyone but Noah, and so therefore, it leaves for myself, and I'll say it, it leaves me no other thought except that Noah alone was the builder of the ark. You say, well, that's impossible. Noah is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know where I'm going with this? Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Noah, again, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith in him alone. Our Lord, Noah being a picture of our Lord and the type of the Lord Jesus, he alone wrought out the salvation and deliverance of his people. Isaiah 63:3 says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. It took 120 years. Now, I thought this through. 120 years. And why would it take 120 years? That's how many years God gave him. But if Almighty God gave him 120 years to build it, and it takes him 120 years to build an ark, then that's how long it took. My point is, it's never recorded that anyone but Noah was involved. And with that being the case, it's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Leviticus chapter 16, on the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, and starting in verse 11, the scripture, listen to what it says concerning Aaron. On the Day of Atonement, one day a year, the high priest, one day a year could go into the Holy of Holies. One day a year. It says, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 11, concerning the Day of Atonement. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself, for his house, shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. He shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. He shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. He shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood of his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat for the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. He shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation till he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. So we're sitting here looking at a glorious picture of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with no mention ever been made concerning any other involvement. It was always Noah. Noah. The work of redemption was accomplished by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who, 1 Peter 2:24, his own self bare our sins in his own body. Noah had God's word, and the Lord was Noah's strength. He believed God and was to build an ark because God was going to destroy the world. And the Lord had promised that Noah and his family only would be found in the ark. And that ark pictured Christ, God's haven of rest, city of refuge, and cleft of the rock. And Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. Is it possible for a man named Jonah to be swallowed by a whale and remain alive in the belly of a whale for 3 days, 3 nights, and then the whale vomit him up? Yeah. The scripture declares that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. But what a beautiful picture of that lack of mention of any other but Noah as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the scripture says, back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 16, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, And the door of the ark shall set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make of it. Now, the word in that particular verse of scripture, window, it's T-S-O-H-A-R. It's either tsohar or just sohar, but what it means is that's the word for window in this particular passage of scripture. And what it means is a light, noon, and double light, or midday. That's what that word means. It's tsohar. That's the word. Now, in just hold your place. Just turn over to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 6. Genesis 8:6 says, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made." Now that word window right there is chalon. It's a different word. It's not the same word. It's a different word. And the word in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 6, that word means perforated. And it would answer to what we think of as a window. Perforated. There's an opening in the wall. That's what it means, perforated. Okay? So that word, window, in 8 is the window that Noah sent the raven and the dove out of. That was a window. But this window in Genesis 6, right here, verse 16, "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above." I just, as I was going through and studying this week and looking at these words and seeing the meanings of it, the exact understanding, I'm going to have to say, is questionable as to that. But it seems to indicate an opening probably finished a cubit high above the ark, but the full length of the ark. In my mind, I would think of it as a long skylight. That's the only way I could relate. But it was a light that went the entire length. Not like just one window where Noah sent the birds out. No. This was a long, long opening that was finished one cubit above. It had a covering of it. So it was that the ark was given as far as the description. It was a light all the way. It was light, complete light within, the Christ being the light. So it was built to exact specifications. It was the length and width, the height, a three-story door, the levels, all the levels of the where the animals, where God would place the animals. The door was three stories high, opened up. I say opened up. The door was there. It was there. It was attached to the ark, and I can only imagine some type of a hinge. I don't know. It doesn't say, but it said it was three stories high. All three stories open. And so that was a task, again, that was showing the glorious work of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ, safety for all that was within. Then in verse 17, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Now, here's what I know. The Lord had promised life in the ark, death without the ark, or outside the ark. And by Noah and his family and all the animals that God would put in there, this was the reason. Verse 18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Now here is the glorious picture of the covenant of God's grace for the surety, salvation of God's people of whom Noah and his family was a type, effectually saved by the grace of God. That covenant of grace established by the three persons of the one God, the Father who chose, the Son who redeemed, the Holy Spirit who effectually calls, who seals, who guides, who teaches. This ark is salvation in Christ. This ark is Christ. And the scripture says in verses 19 through 20, and of everything of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, cattle after their kind, every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Absolute order. Absolute understanding from God. This is who, this is what will come in. And with the entrance of every living thing, of all flesh, of the fowls and their kind, cattle their kind, creeping thing after their kind, there was a place. I was talking to Mark Tilko yesterday. We were over here chit-chatting. And some kind of a long millipede-looking thing, about that big around, you know, came crawling by while we was talking. And I mentioned it to him. I told him, I said, it amazes me that there's been nothing created after God created all things, and God said it was very good. It was done. And of every kind of cattle, and after their kind, whatever they were, deer, antelope, all that, you know. And of the fowls, and after their kind, all the kind, clean and unclean, and all these creeping things, everything that you find in the earth today was there. God created them all then, and there was purpose for them. I told you about looking up that time, mosquitoes. I've told you before, you don't have mosquitoes here. Buddy, I can show you mosquitoes down in South Louisiana. Mosquitoes that'll carry you off. And I thought, that what is the purpose of a mosquito? I hate the sound of them at night. Boy, when you shut the light off, and if I can hear, I got to get up, and I'm going to find him, and I'm going to get him, because he's going to get me. But I read where without the mosquitoes, this earth would not exist. This earth couldn't exist without mosquitoes. And the intricate way in which it plays into the environment. And I thought, oh, the wisdom of God to create all of these things. That we look at them as pests. I understand that. But God saw it was very good. And everything that was needed for the sustaining of his people. That's why they're here. And I don't know the depth, none of us do, but God knew, and they put them all in there. And it was, everything was to be after its kind, and to come in to that ark and have a spot for it. And that ark was built to hold all the occupants with those rooms that we looked at in verse 14. But I think about this scripture of the Lord, John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. Now, I don't know. I don't even know where to go with this. But the Lord said, in his Father's room are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And all of those places, of those nests, and those places, or whatever was needed for what God was going to put, the Lord told Noah, you build it this way, just exactly like this. And the scripture says in verse 21, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Before I make a statement on that verse 21, I want to make one on verse 20 that I failed to. You know, whenever the Lord told Noah in verse 20, he said of fowls after their kind and cattle after their kind, every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, shall come unto thee, shall come unto thee. Do you know how all those creatures got there? God made them willing in the day of God's power to come. That's how they came. Which ones came? The ones marked that God said, okay, you two giraffes, you two go. You two elephants, you two. They shall come unto you. That's how they got there. The scripture sets forth, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's how those animals got in that place. They just came when it was. It wasn't time yet. There's going to be that 120 years between the end of chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7. That 120 years will pass. Because the next thing, in chapter 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. He was just telling him what to build in chapter 6. And 120 years later, picks up chapter 7. But that's how those animals, they come. That's how God's people, how do they get there? They come. God calls them. So now verse 21, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Now, here's Noah. Noah was given the responsibility to be the provider. You gather the food that's going to be for all that's within. And here we see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of Jehovah, the accomplisher of God's work, the great food provider, the bread of life, the manna from heaven, the showbread, which was eaten by Aaron and his sons. We eat of Christ by faith. This is what's happening. The Lord right now is providing food for his people right now. Here's what we're doing. We're seeing him in this ark. We're beholding by faith salvation in the ark. And we're eating. We're feasting on that. That's that. The meat, the Lord said that he had, that was, you know, he had meat that no one provided for him. That he said, I have meat that you know not of. And so here we are, we're provided our sustenance. And then verse 22, and thus did Noah. We could just say, and thus did the Lord Jesus. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah did just exactly what the Lord had commanded him to do. And again, do we not behold the faithfulness of our Savior? He said in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Noah, for 120 years, had the task of building an ark. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he did the work of the Father. Last verse of Scripture, John 6, verse 38 to 40. John chapter 6, verse 38. I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He went to Calvary. He came into this earth. He walked before God faithfully. He went to the cross, the willing lamb, the sacrifice for sin of his people. Made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, bore the guilt of his people, and finished the work. And now, right now, we're reading and studying him, that picture of him, in that blessed ark, seeing that our salvation is totally, by the grace of God, being found in Christ, protected, pitched on the outside and the inside from the wrath of God that's surely due. We're worthy of that wrath. We're worthy of it. But by the grace of God, God has been pleased to pass over us, for he sees the blood. I pray that God Almighty be honored and God's people be blessed for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, dear.